Now, you don't have to travel too far around the world to discover very quickly that God loves variety. He loves variety. He's made all shapes and sizes and colours and intensities an incredible variety in our world. You've only got to go for a walk up on the Black Downs and just look at the trees and look at the colours and just see beauty and incredible intensity. God has made over 300,000 species of beetles, would you believe? Now, you might think, if you were God, that perhaps you could be criticised for that being overkill. Why create 300,000 species of beetles? You'd have thought, well, you just need to create a beetle, just create one beetle. That's going to be annoying enough to people. Why did he create 300,000? Well, he loves variety. Here's another thought. In one cubic foot of snow, and I think it's headed our way eventually, in one cubic foot of snow, there are 18 million snowflakes. Let that sink into your thinking for a minute. And in those 18 million snowflakes, not one of them are alike. That is incredible. Nobody else is going to see it, but God sees it, and he loves variety. He likes variety in people too. Have you ever had to wait for an airplane and watch the peculiar people, variety of people walk by in the queue? God loves variety. And he made every single one of those individuals, and he even made you. I wonder if you spend time sometimes self-analyzing and pondering why you do some of the peculiar things that you do. And you kind of then feel quite insecure. You think, am I the only person who does this peculiar thing? I don't want anyone to know. And then sometimes you actually find that other people feel the same way about the things that they do that are peculiar. And you begin to think, oh my goodness, thank goodness that it's not just me that's peculiar. So he likes variety in people. And he's made every one of you. And this morning I want to say to you, and you need to say to yourself, that you are not an accident. You might be carrying all kinds of peculiarities. You might be carrying all kinds of struggles. And you might think, why am I like this? Well, God has created you and he's made you in variety. That's why this psalm reminds us of some deep truths this morning. You created every part of me. No, you're not an accident. You put me together in my mother's womb, verse 14. Thank you, here is the response of the writer, even with all those peculiarities. And don't think for a minute in the Old Testament that the psalm writers somehow were not peculiar. There were some really peculiar Old Testament figures and people. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. The next time someone tries to accuse you of being, you know, somehow awkwardly different, you just turn to them and say, no, I'm complex. That will sort it. That will sort it. It goes on. It is amazing to think about. Your workmanship is marvelous. Have you ever watched somebody who works with wood grain, who makes beautiful finishes in wood? And not one finish of wood is ever the same. You bring out some beautiful grains with the finer the sandpaper you use. And the workmanship of God on us is incredible. And then in the book of Job, 10 verse 8, it says, your hands formed and shaped me. And that almost sums up the potter's wheel. Sometimes you might think you're the lump of clay that the potter mucks up. No, you're not. God has created you. God has shaped you. And God has formed you. You are not an accident. Say it to yourself this morning. I am not an accident. Say it. I am not an accident. No, you don't believe it. I am not an accident. And from these foundational truths, there are some important things to know. First of all, I am unique. I am unique. You are unique. There is nobody in the world like you. Now, you can take that whichever way you want to. There is no one in the world like you. Or you can say, I am unique. Now, sometimes when I look at people, and I look at people, I think, actually, I suppose there's this human thing about wanting to put people into boxes sometimes. Yeah, we love to do that as humans. And you've kind of seen the mold for a certain group of people, and you think, oh, I know where that came from. But no, everyone is unique. God does not create carbon copies. He only creates originals. You are unique. And if you were to search the whole world, you wouldn't find two people who had the same footprint or the same fingerprint or the same voice print. You are unique. Now, why did God make you different from every other person who's ever lived? Why did he go to all that trouble? Because this morning, let us affirm this truth. He wants you to know how special you are, how much you matter to him. You are unique. My friends, let this truth sink into you. That's the first one. I'm unique. Secondly, and this is the other thing that you can then say to people when they accuse you of being weird. You can then say, no, I'm wonderfully complex. Okay, this is what you need to say to people. Because weird is a common kind of accusation. You know, you're weird. No, I'm wonderfully complex. Now, how many of you are married to somebody who's wonderfully complex? Be very careful. The fact is, you are so complex many times, and we are a mystery to ourselves, aren't we, sometimes? Have you ever acted in a certain way that surprised you? Yeah, I have. Why on earth did you do that? And more to the point, sometimes I remember those things. Oh! Have you ever said something and later thought, what was I thinking about when I said that? Have you ever felt a certain way and later thought, why do I feel this way? Yeah, I'm sure every one of us has. What's happening to me? Feelings are so crucial. And actually, we are so wonderfully complex and so carefully made that we all feel different things. Have you ever been in a group and everyone reacted one way to a circumstance, and then you went and reacted completely differently, in the exact opposite way, and inside you're thinking, what's wrong with me? Why did I do that? Well, there's nothing wrong with you. You are just unique. Now, gaze in awe this morning at what God has done to create you. You are complex and you are unique. And sometimes you just have to admit that. I don't know why I feel this way. I don't know why I said that. I don't know why I thought that. But actually, God does. You are wonderfully complex and you are unique. That's the second thing. First of all, I'm unique. Secondly, I'm wonderfully complex. And thirdly, and this is the crucial one for us this morning in terms of what we think about ministry and gifts, and the third one is this: I was shaped for a purpose. If you're not an accident, and that is a core truth, if you're not an accident and you're created, therefore, for a purpose, God created everything in the world for a purpose. And the Bible says, including you, he has a plan. And he has a purpose for you. You're not here by accident. You're not just taking up space or valuable resources. God made you for a reason. And you were designed by God, and it was his idea. It's not a mistake. You were planned from birth. God did not simply sit down at a computer and randomly access a bunch of components and throw it all together and it came up as you. No. The Bible says very clearly that you were purposefully and personally and orderly planned and designed by God. His loving hands made you exactly the way you are. Now, these are big truths. You know, some of us look at ourselves in the mirror. My goodness me, do you do that? You look at yourselves in the mirror and you think, why did God give me this nose? Why did God give me this shoulders or whatever? No, God made you as you are. God had a plan in the genetic codes of your life. He didn't just throw it all together. You are you because God wanted you to be you. Your uniqueness is what God wants you to offer to the world. Even the things that you may feel most difficult about or most embarrassed about, God wants you to offer those things because you are shaped for significance. Now, today I want to give five factors concerning your shape and how that influences your life. We're going to go through that fairly quickly this morning. Because God has shaped you for ministry. And your shape affects every other aspect of your life. Your relationships, your career, your finances, your retirement, your enjoyment, your hobbies, your recreation. God uses your shape in every area of your life. So the first area in this combination of the word shape is spiritual gifts. The Bible says this: each man has his own gift from God. Each person has his own gift from God. One has this gift, another has that. And there are at least 20 listed in the Bible. Every believer has at least one gift, one spiritual gift. And your gift is to be used to benefit others. Now, folks, these things are so important. Now, Ben this morning got up and did some wonderful magic tricks. And he was on the edge, actually, of his comfort zone to stand up here. He could have done that in front of the mirror at home, and that would have been that. But no, he chose to use that gift for the benefit of others. And we too need to use our gifts for the benefit of others, rather than just simply saying, that's it, I'm holding on to them. And God says every believer has a spiritual gift, and these impact your work, your life, your job, your career, your family, and all of that. Spiritual gifts. Secondly, he's given us a heart. It's what drives you. It's what motivates you. And all of us have different motivations, different drives, different interests. Would you agree, for example, that there are some things that you care about very, very deeply? And there are other things that, frankly, you couldn't care less about. That, my friends, is revealing your heart. And that's different in us. We have different hearts. The Bible says God has put it into their hearts to accomplish his purpose. The Bible says, for it is God who works in you, inspiring both the will and the deed for his own chosen purpose. So what is your heart? What is the thing that gets you up out of bed in the morning? I'm assuming you do get out of bed. You see, God puts desires in our heart. The way you discover what your heart is, your basic motivation in life is to ask yourself, what do I love to do? Now, it's taken me years and years and years to find this. For me personally, you know, one of the things I've worked out, and it doesn't take much to see it, first of all, around the house in which we live, but also in the things in which we drive, in the things that I look at, but that God has shaped me in terms of my heart to repair things. And I don't know where that's come from in part, but I remember it's come also from my dad. My dad had the name Mr. Fix-It. And he never used to call in anybody to repair anything. Not unless it was the very, very last resort. But I look at things and I think, I look at things that are broken, I think, how can I mend it? How can I repair that? Now, what is your heart? How do you look at things? What gets you up and what actually changes the way that you look at things? What do you love to do? What do you really love to do? Sweep away church for a minute. Sweep away what you do, 9 to 5, whatever your working hours are. What is your heart? What does your mind automatically turn to? And please don't say your phone. You cannot get away from a basic interest that God has implanted in your life. You are unique in that. He's given you gifts and he's given you a heart, and those are inborn interests. He says that those are for a chosen purpose. It's not by accident that you have certain interests. God has put that in you. And God wants different kinds of motivations in life to accomplish different things. That's the second one. Spiritual gifts, heart, and now the third one, abilities. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 6 says and reminds us, there are different abilities to perform service. Now this morning you might think, you don't have any ability. I've heard that said, not in this church, at least I don't think I have. I've heard it said by people I've met over the years. You know, I just can't do anything. But actually you do have an ability. You just don't recognize them as being an ability. Researchers have shown that an average person has this, get this, write this down if you want to. A person has between 500 and 700 different kinds of abilities. Yes, you do. 500, wow! You thought you had nothing. It's not true. At the very least, you have 500. You have many, many different kinds of abilities. And God says this is a part of how God shapes you. Some of you are interested in computers. Put you in a room with a computer and in seconds you'll be out there tapping away, trying to hack it or trying to mend it or something. On the other end of the spectrum, some of you are scared to death of computers. Put you in a room with a computer and you'll be knocking on the door, let me out of here. Some of you have a natural ability with mechanical things. Many are good with numbers. Some of you have a natural ability at speaking. Many are good with words. Sit you down in front of a crossword or a Sudoku and you're away. Some of you have great ability with music. You know, I want to say this morning, I love what David has done for us and continues to do in worship, and many of you other skilled in worship. You know, even when he plays a carol tune that's different to the one that we're singing. You know, I mean this. His musical ability is so deep. And that is an incredible. And some of you, some others of you, you have that ability. And I look at, in awe at my kids and I think, I wish that I had been given that, a musical ability. That is just awesome. Some of you have that great skill. Some, David can recall a tune. He can just hear it and he can play it. And that is awesome. And some of you have that ability too. Some of you have mechanical minds. Some of you have engineering minds. Some of you have abilities to entertain in hospitality or in comedy. Other people fall flat on their face when they try to entertain. You maybe have an ability to cook. You maybe have an ability to draw, to speak, to recruit, to research, to landscape or to build. You have awesome numbers of abilities. We all have different abilities. In this room right now, we have a world-changing group of abilities. You have just got to look around and think, how on earth are we going to pull those abilities out to be used for his kingdom? God has given those abilities to you for a purpose. This is the scripture. I, God, have given him skill, ability, and knowledge in all kinds of craft. Exodus 31, verse 3, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 5. Our competence comes from God. He's given you gifts. He's given you heart. He's given you basic motivations in life. He's given you abilities, natural talents and skills. And then penultimately, he's given you a personality. Yes, you have a personality. Now, some of you have a personality with a capital P. Yes, you do. Personality refers to three things: the way you act, the way that you feel, and the way that you think. The root of your personality is the way that you think, because the way you think determines the way you feel, and the way you feel usually determines the way you act. Did you get that? So even the Bible says the root of personality is actually your thought life. Proverbs 4, verse 23, your life is shaped by your thoughts. Now, everybody agrees that personality is so very complex. That's why we have counselors. That's why we have people who deal with deep emotions and thoughts, to unwind the complex ways in which things have been stranded together and to make sense of them. And researchers have discovered that there are at least, get this, this is so amazing, there are at least 18,000 different personality traits. 18,000. And when you put those in combinations, the combinations are endless. In number of personality traits, you are extremely complex. Years ago, there used to be a debate. You've probably heard this if you've had time to think about it. Whether your personality is something you're born with, or is it something that you've acquired through the environment? Lots of people say that you learn most of the way that you behave by watching your parents. There is an uncanny, worrying thought that ultimately you end up like your parents. Just let that one sink in. But there's no doubt about it anymore. Over the years, study after study shows that the moment a child is born, they already have a set pattern of some personality characteristics long before any environment affects them from the outside world. Anybody who's a parent or two of two or more children know that. You know, some babies are born cooing and loving and complacent as they come out, and it's just so wonderful. Yeah? Remember the scene? Other babies come chomping on a cigar and says, I dare you to make me smile. I'm going to take over the world. Some babies come out with attitude. Any of you who are patterns, stop it. Any of you who are parents of multiple children and have watched the dynamics at the dinner table, for example, yeah? You think, you know, as the food gets thrown or the discussion around the table begins to destabilize into chaos, and you think, did I really give birth to that? So you see, your personality is complex. It's a part of your shape, your gifts, your heart, your ability, your personality. God wants to use your personality for a purpose. He gave it to you. It's assigned to you. It's not just something that's an accident. And you know, my biggest worry, church, after all the years of being a pastor, my biggest worry is that the church is not bothered anymore. Actually, we are self-enclosing all of these things, and you were saying, you know, I don't give a monkey's anymore about what God has done in my life. I'm going to only use these things when I want to use them. And God is saying, no, you have got to use them for his purpose. And that leads me into the last one of shape, which is this, experiences. The E of shape is experiences. You know, God plans experiences in your life to help shape you. We looked at this in Romans 8:28. And that key verse, we know that in all things, all that happens to us, this is a different translation, we know that all things that happen to us is working for our good if we love God and are fitting into his plans. God is both organized and he's purposeful in the personal experiences he prepares for us. You know, I look back at my life and I think to myself, you know, I would actually have preferred not to have gone through the painful experiences that I've gone through. No one chooses to go through difficulty. Think about that. Think about your most painful moment. You didn't choose to go through that. But actually, God allowed you to go through that, and now it's time for that to be used for his purpose. God never wastes a hurt. Now, spiritual gifts, heart, ability, personality, experiences, all these things intertwine. And therefore, there are three things to say in conclusion. All five factors are interrelated. You are a complex combination of gifts, heart, and personality, and abilities and experiences. Yes, you are. And they work together. And each element influences the other. You are a combination of them. That's the first point. Secondly, your shape is fixed. It's stable. It endures. Your shape does not change. As you go through different stages in your life, you have different expressions, but your shape actually stays the same. You're not basically any different from when you got started. That's true. You know, I never had it on my list to be a pastor. I never had it on my list. There was never an opportunity to go for a careers interview at school and say, I want a careers interview to be a pastor. It was never on my target. But actually, I can see the signs way back in childhood that are clearly there. So what happens, for example, at conversion? Well, when I'm born again, when you come to know Christ, you're converted, yes? God doesn't slow you down. He just changes your direction. You come into line with his purposes. And if you look at the life of Paul, all the characteristics that you saw in his life, his zeal. I mean, he was an angry person, Paul. His enthusiasm, his very sharp mind, his Pharisaic nature. He still had all of that after he became a Christian. And it's just that God used them and God changed them like the clay on a potter's wheel. God changed Paul and he grew that man into an apostle of God. He channeled them in a new way. He didn't change his personality, but he changed how he used it, and he used it for good rather than for selfish purpose. Now, as I conclude, because time is against me, I want just to say this in conclusion. Why must you understand your shape? Well, there are a number of key benefits. There are four benefits. First, a random list of issues that your shape explains. Once you understand your shape, it explains how you respond, for example, to authority. It explains how you handle criticism. You know, when I was young, as a child, as the last born of four, with three older brothers, guess what? I could never cope with criticism. And that's true of how family patterns work out. It is really interesting to see the point at which you were born in the family pattern. If you're an only child, there are specific characteristics of being an only child. If you're the firstborn of many, well, guess what? It's all on your shoulders. Yeah? If you're in the middle child, well, be careful what I say. You're expecting me to say things. If you're the youngest, you get away with everything. Take it from me. Your shape explains what makes you mad, what makes you sad, what makes you worried, what makes you happy, what makes you fearful. But your shape is you. And that's why it's important that you understand yourself. That's why in the emotionally healthy spirituality course, we open up the bonnet and we look at the things underneath and we say, why has God made me the way that I am? It's so important. Understanding yourself too is important because it reduces stress. In other words, it stops you from trying to be endlessly someone you're not. You spend most of our lives trying to be what this expectation is of us. Guess what? The biggest secret is stop being trying to be someone else. You are you, and God wants you to be you. Stop trying to be someone else. And the minute you do, it reduces your stress. And it also deepens satisfaction, because the minute you start to be you, it means that you can start to operate in an appropriate way. A satisfying life is when you're doing what you're shaped to do, what God has made for you to do. And you're free. You're free to be you rather than trying to conform to someone else and the expectation of being someone else. And also, it helps build your self-esteem. Doing what you're shaped to builds that self-esteem. One of the reasons we know, studies say over 50% of all the people in their jobs are actually in the wrong jobs. Why? Because they're doing something that they're expected to do rather than they're shaped to do. So as we conclude, you know, this year I want you to examine carefully what your shape is. Please don't waste time this year. We are crying out for people to find their right place in this family of God's people. Do you know, I'll be honest with you this morning, as I reflected upon this, over the last few weeks as we finish 2018 and begin 2019, you know, when we think about how you would start a ministry in a church, you would only start a ministry in the church if you have the right gifted people, wouldn't you? You wouldn't start a ministry in a church if you have no one gifted in that ministry. It's the most idiotic thing you'd ever do. That's why, for example, we need to review yet again the ministries of the church. Because we're trying to do things that no one is standing up to. This morning we're crying out for people to fit into key places. But actually, we will have to close down things where we're not finding people to help. And actually begin things where there are people willing to help. Unless we see a change in the way that we're responding to our personal shape. This is the most challenging year yet. This I have not preached on for many years. I have tucked it away under the carpet. But actually, this is the biggest weakness of this church. It is the biggest weakness of this church. Yes, we've dealt with prayer. But the fundamental weakness is this, that we are not seeing people step up to their God-given shape. And this is what we must apply ourselves to. If you find actually this year that we're not doing something that you're shaped for, guess what? I want you to start that. Start something that relates to your shape. And then we'll understand that we're doing the wrong thing in the ministry of our church. And God will reveal that we have actually 15, 20 other people who feel the same thing. Some ministries will have to die. There's no point just keeping it going for the sake of we must keep the doors open. We actually have to close things we don't have the shape for and start things that we do have the shape for. Brothers and sisters in Christ, let us rise up and be a people who understand ourselves and what God has in store for us as a church. May this be a life-changing year for us in the schemes and purposes of God. Amen.